Let's call the City of Santa Paula Planning Commission to order this August 23rd, 2016. And if you all would please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tom, would you do roll call, please?
Commissioner Summer?
Present.
Commissioner Demers?
Present.
Chairman Eichert?
Here.
And Vice Chairman Robinson is absent.
And we have before us the agenda for tonight. Is this the final agenda?
It is final as submitted.
Thank you. And at this time, where we talk a bit about public comment on things that are not on the agenda. So if anyone in the audience is here to talk about some item that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Planning Commission, they can address it at this time. They must fill out a card and so forth and submit it to Tom. Is anyone here for that? No? Good. We'll move on from public comment. Let's go on to the consent calendar. We have a couple items to do. One's our minutes, so we have a approval of the minutes for our June 28th, 2016 Planning Commission meeting. We got recommended action by staff for approval of the minutes. Any questions, commissioners? Motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve minutes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Then we move on to a special presentation by our assistant city attorney, Mr. Kettles. You're up.
Good evening, commissioners and members of the public. I'm presenting on. Can you hear me? Better? Okay. Okay. Good evening, commissioners. I'm presenting on a request for a general plan consistency finding made by the Santa Paula Unified School District for a school site in East Area 1. A staff report has been prepared. I'm not gonna read the staff report. I'm just gonna talk about the highlights. Let the record reflect that the staff report has been provided to the commissioners in their packets for this evening. The district's request concerns a 10.9-acre site in the East Area 1 general plan, or pardon me, specific plan area for a K through 8 school that's been proposed by the district. State law requires that school districts make a general plan consistency finding to the local planning agency and for the planning agency to respond to those requests. This law is in the interest of good planning and safety of the school children. We've reviewed the general plan and the development agreement and specific plan that pertain to East Area 1, we being staff, and we find that we believe that the proposal by the school districts is consistent with the general plan and specific plan in a number of respects. Specifically, with respect to the general plan, there's land use goal 3.1, which states that there should be a healthy balance of land uses and adequate land for all community needs should be provided. There are also policies generally promoting school uses and specific uses in the East Area 1 area. The East Area 1 development agreement and specific plan contemplated that this site that has been selected by the school district would in fact be used for a elementary school. The school district is proposing a K through 8 use instead, slightly different. In any event, we find that the proposal is consistent with the general plan, the development agreement, and the specific plan, and we recommend that the commission direct the director of planning to send a letter to the Unified School District indicating that there is this consistency that's been found by the city. That's my presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Well, I have no questions of you, but Commissioners? Commissioner Demers?
Just a couple questions, so hopefully very simple. One, just so I'm completely clear, all of this action does is to affirm that it's consistent with the general plan. There's no other items that this motion would approve. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then just for my own edification, the project also calls for a high school site. And
yes.
I don't recall seeing that yet. Is that forthcoming, or where are we with that?
I do not know where we are with the high school site. I would defer to planning staff. I'm looking at.
If I could, I believe Donna Rose is in the audience, yeah, and can I step up?
If I may?
Sure.
Okay. For the record, I'm Donna Rose, Assistant Superintendent of the Santa Paula Unified School District. To answer your question about the high school site, the school board is just now starting their deliberation about what's going to happen with that site. So we would be putting a similar letter before you, I think, when we have a little bit more specifics to tell you. But both sites are in the plan, and we will move forward on the high school site at some point in time.
Okay.
The K-8 is more immediate need.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
That's it. Does this require a motion by us to direct the planning?
It's on the consent calendar, so I don't believe it actually needs a.
Doesn't need
a motion.
It's just.
Greg, do you know?
We're in agreement that it should be. Well, I don't know if we're in agreement, but I think we are.
Why don't we go ahead and do it?
Okay, I'll so move that we send this letter to the planning director. Direct the planning directors do the letter.
This is a letter. It's on page 29.
Right.
Already been drafted. It's got tomorrow's data. I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Good.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, now on to the public hearing. Tom, has this legal notice been made for the hearing?
Yeah, both items properly noticed.
And is there any declaration of conflicts of commissioners? None here? Ex parte contacts?
None.
Not here either. All right. I'll open the public hearing at this time. I don't have any cards, so if there are interested folks, there should be cards that would be.
Did anyone wish to speak on the AEG cards at this time?
Nope. Okay.
You received one public letter.
Yes. Okay, Dante.
All right. Good evening, chairs, commissioners. The following is a request of Mr. Alfredo Garcia. Consider case number 16 CUP4. I did speak with him on the phone today. He will not be present. So we already discussed most of this with him here. This project is basically for new auto sales. This would be one of the first few tenants for the newly completed Calavo Industrial Center, if you've driven by. That's described more fully in attachment B of the report. And that attachment will follow any further development that'll come through to try to simplify the staff reports. Just focus on the needs of the individual businesses. This was taken a few weeks ago. It's a basic vanilla shell. You can see he's got his sales desks on the left, and otherwise it'll be an open bay. Most of that will be used for storage of vehicles, no more than 40 days, and no repair or maintenance on site. He's engaged in a strictly commerce operation. Overall, it's the aerial view. If you might have seen it along Telegraph, but it is just one suite of the, I think, 30 total that exists there on the site. It's got some nice access to the Telegraph, and we'll get to that a little later. For the zoning, you'll see it's outlined in yellow for the subject suite, and it's a little hard to see on that map, but this whole parcel, or actually there's three parcels here, is mixed use commercial light industrial. The red is general commercial, and the pale yellow you'll see along here are single family homes. And the project itself is just one small part of all of that. As described in further detail in the staff report, it does engage in the four operations. Mainly he's a broker. He's going to be selling, storing some cars, and then the issue is occasionally he'll get cars, takes them that he finds are worth value, takes them to Anaheim, sells them at auction there. Apparently that's where he can make the most money on them. Anything that doesn't sell will come back and he'll try to sell here at discount and repeat that essentially on a monthly basis. All of those four described operations would require a CUP. In this case, they're all being bundled up into the single conditional use permit before you. For environmental review, the entire project at the Calavo Industrial Center back in 2009 did receive a negative declaration, and that was staff's result after the initial study with the mitigation measures. And as we see very commonly, the Planning Commission, this is a 15301, it's just minor alterations to existing private space, in this case just flushing out a little bit of that open bay. So in conclusion, we find that we have another opportunity here to help expand Santa Paula's business base. The carrier loading, we'll address some of those comments regarding the public letter we received, would occur once a month, and we'll see some more slides how to deal with that. And then overall, it does meet all of the applicable codes for, standards and policies. So in conclusion, I ask that the Planning Commission make the required findings, determine that it is exempt from CEQA, and thus approve the project subject to the conditions approval in the staff report or as modified within this meeting here. And I did anticipate someone to show up. I just wanted to touch on staff's response to the letter. The letter regarded the unloading of a truck would be a car carrier carrying a certain number of cars on Telegraph, which already does handle considerable traffic. Now, this is one area that could be utilized. I did speak with Raul Gaitan, the road supervisor for Public Works, and he said that any specific parking plan would be premature at this point. As you may know, just down the road is the big Calavo Fruit Growers Association, and when it's picking season, they get busy. The road west of there widens. So you have a broad, deep shoulder here. You can already see several semi-trucks parked in here. And there's other opportunity in front of Calavo. So in discussion with the applicant and with Public Works, it was felt that because it would occur roughly monthly and he could time the carrier's exit and arrival, that he just use basic common sense. And should this arise to the issue of a problem, just like every conditional use permit, we can revisit this and either require some other conditions, such as restricting the cars to four, which would allow them to access the site and do drop-offs. Of course, that presents a problem because then you could be blocking other tenants within the business in the fire lanes, or perhaps being able to do a three-point turn in here. The last option would be to secure some sort of agreement with Calavo, but I think that would get complicated, and I didn't want to burden the applicant with that requirement at this point. I tried to address the concerns in the letter. However, the overall concern of traffic on Telegraph is a bit beyond the purview of this conditional use permit. So I am available for questions that you have.
Well, I like the idea that it's getting used. That industrial area is finally getting used. But, and I read the letter that Marianne Krause sent in. I happen to have the same concern, that was the unloading.
Correct.
And of course, she doesn't want it to take place there at all, being someplace else. And I think it is a very busy road. Every time I've driven down it, it's pretty well socked up. But there's no way that he can do his unloading inside on the property?
That depends on the number of vehicles that he's taking. He mentioned that if he's coming back, you could probably, the idea is to sell most of them, so upon return he probably would have a short car carrier, and then you could just park temporarily. It would essentially block some of that access for the other tenants. You could unload them fairly quickly into the outside yard or the inside storage area. However, if he's accumulated more than four vehicles, which is likely, if he is having a good month doing that Anaheim sale, then he would need to find an alternative location. That's where I spoke with him on the phone that said, well, it may take you a little longer, but you've got these deep shoulders in front of the post office here, in front of Spears Manufacturing, and if you just want to keep going down there and making those turns, that could be an option. The idea of bringing, because this does come to a dead end up in here as a private residence, so bringing a full truck carrier in here, asking him not to use the truck turnaround, it's going to be tough for him to make that 3-point, especially with the carrier. So I think we just went with, in this case, what was the most practical, and because of the infrequent nature of it, roughly 12 times a year or so. Other alternatives, such as restricting it or having him park, I'm not sure where, maybe be somewhere else, and ferrying the cars a further distance could also be considered. But with consultation with Public Works, this is what we figured would be feasible to provide ample opportunity for somewhere along that strip to be able to load the vehicles from the storage area onto the carrier and then depart.
Does anyone else have comments or concerns regarding this?
I've got one comment on page 31. Just to be a correction, there's only one roll-up door, not two, on the 14 by 12, just FYI. And then secondly, to follow up on this, I also read the letter from Marianne Krause that Tom had forwarded yesterday. And since I go to Hillview to see some friends quite a bit, I'm in that area. And again, the traffic is an issue there, but since it's only one time a year, and I believe Anaheim, one time a month, and I believe that Anaheim is during the middle of the week. It's not on the weekend.
You know, I did not get into that specific nature of the conversation with, but I just know that's part of his business.
So my assumption would be that that's going to be early morning hours to be able to beat traffic and be down there. So it's going to probably be like, you know, 4 in the morning or something like that. It's not going to be during school time and things like that. So I don't see an issue with the way it's written now because, again, the size of the car carrier, there's no way on Calavo he can you know, maneuver that and or once he's inside the complex. So he has to be on Telegraph. And that's only subject to if those parking spots are available. If there's cars that are there during the middle of the day, he can't park there.
Correct.
He has to park down. So that takes care of part of that. And all the cars have to be operable so they can drive them. They got to drive them a quarter mile. So it's not like they're taking them off and having to push them type thing. So
yes,
the way it's written up, I mean, I have concerns, but I'm fine with how staff and Public Works has already addressed it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Commissioner DeBerg?
No, I could just, you know, echo what Commissioner Summer said. There's a slight concern. There is traffic, but at one time a month, I don't think that's any reason to block the permit of that, given that there are other options. I mean, with the wider shoulders just adjacent to it, I think there's plenty of options and opportunities for them to stay out of the way one day a month.
Would you put up the slide that has the entrance into... Now, is that the entrance, or is that...
There are several entrances. This is the only one that allows direct entrance from Telegraph. I'm going to go back one. There's an entrance 1, 2, 3.
Okay, yeah.
They all loop around. They're all interconnected.
Okay, that was the one I wanted. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just it's too much of an incline. Okay. Any more questions?
I guess one question, just to reiterate, a couple different areas in the documents, all the vehicles are to be stored inside the building, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, it's only parking outside where the fence is and the man.
Well, this is one of the challenges that, as we were looking through this project and developing that attachment B for the Calavo Center, each unit has that fenced yard.
Right.
And then back there, at least, well, not this one. Get one, but
right there. Here.
So they have parking, and it's not required that the, say, sales staff or the owner park in there. It's going to be, each one's allocated a certain number of parking spaces. They're not designated, however, so
right.
If some business comes in and they take all the parking, then they're going to have to be in there. But cars for sale would be stored indoors, and
okay.
The rear yard is what I was encouraging him is to park your staff vehicles there to
right.
Free up. And then he agreed that would be wise for his own business, so if people want to come by, they can park near 108F.
Yeah, I just was going back and forth between the attachments and that. I just wanted to make sure that was, because it was spelled out clear in one, but to me it was vague in the other.
I can revisit that in the next.
No, as long as we're on the, it's on record, you're going there, I'm fine with that.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Sure, I'll make a motion that we move forward on CUP 2016. CUP 04, subject conditions approval listed on resolutions 3749 that we just discussed.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed? Passes?
Thank you.
Okay, item 16, CUP 02, Thomas 99 Cents Plus Store. Request for a conditional use permit, and you're going to do that one, Dante? Okay.
That's good. Correct. We do have the applicant here, but Mr. Thomas is available for any questions here today. So if you've driven along Telegraph, I'm sure you've seen the grocery or existing discount store. It's been here a long time, built in 1958, 4,600 square feet. It's had a series of uses, a pool supply, several iterations as a grocery store. It's been a fixture along Harvard, 233 West Harvard, for a long time. Overall, if you've driven by, you may not have realized that it is proximate to several single-family homes. The strip mall, and there is direct access from Moultrie right here down the way. The zoning for the property outlined in yellow here is general commercial, and then you have a series of single family homes all along. Even the large apartments across the way are technically general commercial zoning. And the proposal is essentially a discount store, which would add prepackaged food, essentially adding grocery market items. No food would be prepared on site. It'd be, you know, soda juices, pre-wrapped sandwiches, these sorts of things. And for the code, any grocery or market in a commercial zone does require a conditional use permit, which is why we're here today. As we see time and time again, this is the exemption here to a minor modification to an existing private structure. For the CEQA review, the overall proposal would take the last aisle and turn it into 17 reaching coolers with the associated walk-in. No real changes to the main floor space, you know, various sundries, dry goods, pet food, whatnot. The condenser unit for the refrigeration would be located in behind, and the agent, which was Duke Puga, worked pretty diligently to secure a condenser unit that met the noise requirements. That was a concern because of the single family residences behind. And so that issue was resolved. So this is where I was mentioning the CEQA exemption for 15301. So in conclusion, similar to the prior presentation, again, we have an opportunity to expand business activity, maybe offer a little bit more competition. There's a 97 cent store across the street. The refrigeration machinery is now at 58 decibels. The limit is 60 at residential and 65 commercial. And you would be installing the noise baffling equipment, and as well as the manufacturer states that it's 70 degrees Fahrenheit below, you drop 4 to 8 decibels. So 60 is an average air conditioner, so I don't anticipate a whole lot of noise from this. So therefore, it would meet all of the applicable development code standards and policies. So the staff does make the recommendation for approval that the Planning Commission make the required findings, determine that it is exempt, and approve the project subject to the conditions of approval or as modified by the Planning Commission today. And as a reminder, if you do have any questions, myself or the applicant is available.
Okay. Commissioners?
Just curious, is this a result of a code enforcement, why it's in front of us, or?
No. I believe Mr. Thomas just wanted to expand his business offerings.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have any, I don't believe there's any issues at all.
Thank you very much for your time.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Elias. Me and my brother opened the new store here. First, can I speak like 1 minute about?
Sure.
I came from United States. My dream in my life to come to United States. I lived in Syria before. I came to here. I found everything I needed. This country gave me everything I need. When I start looking for a job, I work in Santa Paula. Before I opened the store here, I work in 12th Street. We have a nice job. I love this city. All the people here very nice. Family people, nice. Everything nice here. That's why I like to coming back to Santa Paula, open business here. Just I need your help because now I'm not making enough money. I'm start losing because we don't have a grocery inside my store. A lot of customer came to my store, asked me about milk, eggs, ice cream, some type of food. I can't sell it now. Please, just I need your help for that. I'm not asking a lot. I know this country give me more than I need. but I need a little bit more help to have my business. And I don't know what I want to say more, because this first time, honestly, I have a, I stay here and I talk to new people. And I don't know what I want to say now, because this first time I start talking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Sure. To follow up on that, when I did my due diligence on it, they're already selling things in there now, and there's signage, you know, for beverages, and that's why I asked. I didn't know if that was brought. I personally, I have no issues with it doing it, but I was just curious as to, you know, why they're already doing it, you know, type thing.
That I can't speak to. I do know that I have any conversation with the Ventura County. They require a food facility permit. Mm-hmm. And they are going through various protocols there. I don't know if you want to speak to the applicant directly, but I have no knowledge of that.
Again, if you guys are fine with it, and I understand they have to go through everything, just seems that they're kind of the carts behind the horse here on that, and there's refrigerators on the side already in there. And the second thing that I would bring is the landscape plan. Right now, it's all dirt. And I realize there's a landscape plan on here, but it's dirt and weeds. So the dirt and weeds, make sure everything's properly acknowledged as far as their permits before they move forward anymore. And there's a signage ordinance in the city as far as any signs on the windows. And yeah,
it's my understanding that the upper windows are essentially used for illumination. There is a sign that it does change sometimes on the front door. Mm-hmm. We can maintain.
And it's for beverages. There's one on one of the upper windows for beverages right now,
okay,
as of today.
All right.
Yeah. Well, so again, that's not in compliance with the sign ordinance.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So that's just wanted to bring those things to everybody's attention. So, and as far as moving forward with it, I'm fine. But again, it's got to. Got to go into the rules.
Do you like that as a separate condition of approval with the landscaping, or just to ensure that it meets the city, what we already have on the books?
I don't think it needs to be separate. The plan's kind of sparse of what's presented to us, but as long as it meets the city's regulations, that's our duty up here. I'm not asking for anything over and above, just, you know, that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I just want to make sure it gets bird dogged, you know, on that. Other than that, no, I'm for it. I just want to make sure I's are dotted and T's are crossed after, you know, walking in there today.
All right. Well, that is fair. We do try to treat all grocery stores equally, and
yep,
signage, again, equally across the city.
Yep.
So we can address that as well.
That's all I have on that.
Commissioner Demers, questions?
No questions.
Okay. I echo what Commissioner Somers had to say about the facility. But I think that is a code enforcement issue with, and who do we have doing that in this city? Is that Rick Ariza, our fire chief?
We don't do that.
Lorenzo, the field inspector, when he's doing building inspections, we could pull.
So that should be part of it. I have no problem with what's presented other than that. So is there a motion from the commissioners?
Sure, I'll make the motion that we approve CUP 2016, CUP 02, resolution 3751, with the other items that were noted this evening.
Yeah. With the landscaping and...
Just to ensure the landscaping and the signage and things are in compliance with what is already on the books in the city, yeah.
Understood.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
There you go. Passes. At this time, I'll close the public hearing. And any new business? Hearing none. Any city communications? Tom?
None outside of what's listed in the agenda. The River Rock Hardison House development at 1226 Ojai Road will be coming back before the City Council, continuance to September 19th. So we'll see what happens with that. And the regarding the Planning Commission, the city clerk is working on tracking down interested candidates for Planning Commissioner to fill the seat left by Commissioner Wacker. So more on that to come as well. But I believe the advertisement goes out on this Friday. So we should see a new commissioner soon.
Okay. All right, that's that. Any requests for future agenda items? We have this down here for a nomination required for a design assistance committee rep, typically off of the Planning Commission.
That's correct. So
who's that currently?
Currently, it's a carryover from a previous Planning Commission. I believe it's Marilyn Appleby from many moons ago. So that the appointee remains on there until a new one is selected. So
so she's still serving, even though she's not on the commission?
Technically, yes, but the Design Assistance Committee hasn't met in some time. So
okay.
They're trying to revive that, and we'll need someone from the current Planning Commission to serve on that per the code. So we didn't want to nominate and select anyone tonight since we only have three commissioners
right
here. So hopefully when we have the fourth and possibly fifth commissioner, then we can select at the next meeting.
Good.
So.
Okay. Good. Anything else?
I think that's wise. Let's wait until we have a full commission.
Right. Yeah.
History before that was John Turturro. So, but Marilyn's been it for about 5 years, I'm guessing. So.
Okay.
But they haven't met, neither the Design Advisory Committee, nor I think the Historic Preservation Commission have met in quite some time.
That's correct. They're actually sort of one and the same. It's a little bit complicated how that whole thing is set up, but yeah, they haven't met in some time. And on the heels of, to be perfectly honest, on the heels of the Hardison House issue that's being sort of revived. So
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Give it some thought if you'd like to volunteer.
Okay. All right. We're adjourned.